بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. وقال الله عز وجل: وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. وقال الله عز وجل في شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصلي عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite and abundant praise and glory is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has bestowed upon us the beautiful deen of Islam and the most beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the one who has given us the ability to come here today together in his home to seek his forgiveness, to seek his protection, and to find salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send his abundant peace and blessings upon our noble messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, and upon his purified and noble family, and upon the righteous companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. The life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam is one of the most well documented in history, human history, and also the history that is known to the malaika and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the beginning of time. So the question that we have today for all of those attending the Jumu'ah is: how well do we actually know our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? And this is a very pertinent question to ask our youngsters. You can ask them about celebrities, you can ask them about football people, you can ask them about various people in the dunya, in the world, and they will tell you all of their biodata, where they live, who they play for, how much they earn, and all of these things. But our children, if you ask them when the Prophet ﷺ was born, where was he born, and what was the message that he came with, and what are the changes that he came with, i.e. the transformation that occurred at the hands of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and you'll find them to be quite hesitant and reluctant and unable to answer the questions proficiently. So this is a very important question to ask ourselves, and also to ensure that our children are well educated and well informed about the complete life of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And in brief, I'd just like to share with you that in 23 years after the Prophet ﷺ professed the prophethood, the Nabuwa, and shared that with all of the people in the Arabian Peninsula, in the short period of 23 years, he took his people, his nation, his followers, from being the weakest, the most despised, the most hated of people, and the most oppressed people at that time, and he transformed them and made them the most honorable of people. And he made them the leaders of all of mankind. And he showed them how to be the best of role models within their homes, with their children, in their community, in their business, or in any particular arena, in all facets of life. This is how the Prophet ﷺ came, and he completely and utterly transformed the entire nation at that time, or the entire world you could also say as well. And through the seerah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, we can still continue to transform ourselves, our community, and also transform the ummah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. But more importantly, about how the transformation took place, he did all of this with the utmost integrity, with honesty, without lying, without deceit, without backbiting and gossiping, without any fitna or fasad. He transformed the community, and he transformed their hearts first and foremost, and therefore he was able to transform their actions as well. And this is something that we need to really reflect upon, to ask our children that what is the state of their heart, their state of their heart, and their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their connection to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We can often at times illicit change by forcing people, by shouting at people, by threatening people, or by lying and deceiving. But this is momentary change. And the Prophet ﷺ wanted to change us for the better and wanted to keep us wanted us to maintain that momentum in continuously transforming ourselves, enhancing ourselves, improving ourselves, and getting better and more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallahul aziz, today in this very brief Jumu'ah, we will learn about a few of the transformational acts that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam instilled within the community, and how we can regain all of those treasures, and we can realign ourselves and our hearts back onto the path of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But in order to do that, we must first and foremost turn to the Qur'an, and also turn to the beautiful Sunnah, to the beautiful Seerah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. For verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an, He reminds us that لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, as I mentioned in the khutbah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. This is how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is described to the ummah and for all of humanity, that certainly has come to you a messenger. He's been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perfected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sent with a specific and core mission to transform the behavior, the traits, the habits, the adat, and the mannerisms of all of those people that were around him. But he's from amongst you. That this change must come from you. And this is another important aspect of change, that it has to be internal. Just if somebody is forcing you to change externally and you resist from the inside, you will not be able to maintain that change. So the Prophet ﷺ came amongst the Arabs, from the Arabs, so they could see that if this person, he has the greatest morals, he has the greatest character, he is Sadiq, he is Al-Amin, he has all of these beautiful characteristics, and he can live in this society and he can be far better than all of us, then we can also bring about some change within our lives as well. The Prophet ﷺ was described as concerned for the suffering of all of those that were around him, and he was anxious for the well-being of all of those people that were around him, and this includes the Muslims and the non-Muslims, because the Prophet ﷺ's mission is to save all of humanity from the fire of hell, save them from the path of the shaitan, save them from the attacks of the shaitan, and guide them back onto the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path that leads back to Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. So he was anxious for the spiritual and the physical and the mental well-being of all of those people that were around him. And at the same time, he was the most gracious, most benevolent, and he was the most merciful to the believers as well. And these are some of the core characteristics that we need to instill within our hearts, within our minds, and to ensure that they permeate throughout our body and they come out in our actions, in our deeds, in our af'al. This is what something that we need to reflect upon. Because currently, if you look at the state of humanity worldwide is sick. Physically, they are sick. Mentally, they are sick, and especially spiritually, they are sick. They are suffering from various ailments and various problems of atheism, of agnosticism, of individualism and capitalism, and various other things that are there and rampant within our society. So humanity at large and wide is sick, and the earth has also become sick as well. Sick of the actions and the fitna and the facade and the corruption that is taking place at the hands of Bani Adam, at the hands of insan, creating all of this sickness throughout the world. And we as human beings, if you look just at the recent, if you look at this year 2019 and the agenda of RSE and the agenda of LGBTQ and various other things that are taking place nationally and internationally, humanity has lost its senses, has lost its aql, has lost its source, its grounding, and doesn't know who it is, and is constantly changing its gender, its fluidity, and what I believe, what I don't believe, what is real, what is tangible, what is intangible, all of these things. Nothing matters anymore. You can be whatever you want, you can do whatever you want, you can go wherever you want, all of these things. show us that we are not in control anymore. We are in chaos. We are spiraling out of control and we are going towards our own destruction. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ لَا تُلْهِكُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ بِأَيْدِيكُمْ. That don't destroy yourself with your own hands. So we're going towards utter chaos, towards darkness, and towards our own destruction. But we all need the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all need the nur of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama. We all need the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama. And through his sunnah, through his akhlaq, and through following his beautiful characteristics and following his life, we can pierce through the darkness and we can stop ourselves from our own destruction and take ourselves and also our children and our family towards the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards hidayah, towards khair, towards barakah, towards success, towards salvation in this dunya, and most importantly, in the hereafter. But all of this can only take place when we turn back to the Qur'an, the majestic kalam, speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we return back to the beautiful sunnah, akhlaq, way of life of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama. But if we constantly think that we know better, we live in the 21st century and you don't need to refer to anybody, you don't need to refer to a book that was revealed 1400 years ago or to the various corpus of ahadith and things like that, that you are the best person that you can be and you can do whatever you want, then without a doubt, and inevitably you will fall towards your own halakat, towards your own destruction, and you'll go towards the darkness and the abyss where the shaitan wants to keep you away from the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةً. That we have sent down this book, the Qur'an, and also the sunnah, because the sunnah is indispensable to the Qur'an. The sunnah explains the clarification of the Qur'an. And when Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was asked about the khuluq of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and she described it, that he was the living embodiment of the Qur'an, that everything that was contained within the majestic Qur'an, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam brought that to fruition. He brought that for people to see that this is how you physically, spiritually, intellectually implement the beautiful and timeless kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a clarification for all of the questions that we have in our mind, for all of the things that are there embedded within our hearts, for the shak, for the shubahat, for the doubts, all of those things that are there playing around, the whispers of the shaitan, the attacks of the shaitan, the onslaught of the secularism and the dunya, the Qur'an is there as your protection, the Qur'an is there as your antivirus to protect you from all of these things in the dunya. It is a guidance for you, it is a guidance for your family, it is a guidance for your children. It is a glad tiding for all of those people who follow the Quran and most importantly follow the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama. So if you quickly reflect back on the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was there living with the Sahaba ikram, when he was there living amongst the Arabs, when he was there in Makkatul Mukarramah, if you look at a snapshot of Makkah at that time and you look at the snapshot of what the world is today, then you will not find much differences. Yes, you will find advancements, technological advancements, medical advancements here in this dunya, but even then, that's very, very limited. But if you look at the general society and how the culture was, how the function and the role of the world was at that time, and you compare it today, you won't find much differences. So if you look at 5th century Mecca, it will be a mirror of our current global capitalist and very hedonistic society, all about self-fulfillment and pleasure, doing what you want whenever you want, all about making sure that you make as much money as you want, that you live the life that you want, that you don't worry about the hereafter, you have no concept of the qabr, you have no concept of the return or retribution or anything else, you can do whatever you want to do. Businessmen at that time in Makkah were the leaders, were the ashraf, were the most honorable people at that time. And in this day and age as well, whoever has the most money, they can become the leader of any nation. They can become the leader of any town. Money talks, as they say. So the businessmen at that time in Makkah were the leaders, and they are the ones who ran the town. They are the ones who ran Makkah, and they said, this is what happens. These are the people who can enter. These are the people who cannot enter. These are the rules and regulations. They stipulated everything. The acquisition of wealth, i.e. gaining wealth, irrespective of whatever means it was, whether halal or haram, it didn't matter to them. The acquisition of the wealth was most important to them. It was the primary concern. And if you look at the banks today, all they care about is how they can double and triple and quadruple their money exponentially, and how they can do speculation and do all of these things and just make more money off the back of no actual real tangible gold or any particular asset. This is what the banks want, more and more money. This is what people who are in the property ladder, they want to make more and more money. People in businesses, in every single facet of life, people are just absorbed in just making more and more money. And if you refer back to the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam's concern and worry for the ummah, for his ummah, was that they will completely be absorbed and annihilate themselves in the acquisition of the wealth and of the dunya. This is one of his greatest fear of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Not the fear of shirk or anything else, but rather this, that you will be completely absorbed into the dunya. And you can see in this day and age, everybody is just about making more and more money, doing overtime and triple time, so that they can have the latest car, the latest gadgets, the largest home, and all of these particular commodities. Whereas the reality is, richness is the richness of the heart, is the richness of the soul, is the richness of iman, in your yaqeen, in your tawakkul, in your zikr, in your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So the rich at that time simply got richer, and also they remained above and beyond the law, because they made the law and they also made exceptions for themselves. So they were above and beyond the law. And those who were poor, those who were from less fortunate backgrounds or less well off financially or from tribes, they were always looked down upon and downtrodden, and nobody cared about them or their rights, especially women and also girls and children. You know exactly what the people of Makkah used to do and how they used to treat their daughters at that particular time. So if you look at all of these things, look at how the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, when he came to the front, to the forefront, he didn't want to change the materialistic aspects of people. He wanted to change the state of their heart. He wanted to change their intentions and their approach to life. This is what he wanted to do. So he didn't bring about materialistic changes in the lives of the people, but rather he focused on the social aspects of the society at that time. He focused on the religious aspects of the unity and believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He focused upon all of those things that were culturally acceptable, or those things that were abominable, those things that were despised and hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He focused on the ethical and the moral issue that were there at that time for women, for children, for those people who are of a different color, from a different tribe and a different nation. He focused on all of these things. He focused on people. He focused on humanity. He focused on those people that were immediately around him, and he did not focus on himself. Even if they were to give him the sun in his right hand and they were to give him the moon in his left hand, or to give him all of the honor and all of the wealth, he would still reject all of that. Why? Because he was concerned for the welfare of people, for their iman, for their future. And this is something that we are forgetting, fast forgetting, in this dunya again, in this world again, at this century, at this moment in time. We're just more and more absorbed about ourselves, how you can get richer, how you can get richer quicker, and how you can enjoy yourself. It doesn't matter at what cost it may be, who it may harm, and how other people will suffer as a consequence. You want to eat fast food? Eat fast food. But don't you take a moment to reflect that, where is this production coming from? Because there's so much demand, then they have to make cuts. They are injecting chicken and poultry with chlorine and various other chemicals at that time. They are using so much pesticide in the food that we don't even focus on the tayyib anymore. We just think, look at the label, it needs to be halal and that's it, that's sufficient for us. But no, we need to look at the quality of what we eat. And similarly, we need to look at the quality of interactions that we have with other people, with our community, with our neighbors, with our society. The quality of relationships is very important, because one of the heaviest things that will weigh in your favor on the day of Qiyamah is your khuluq, is your character, is your akhlaq. This will help you and benefit you the most on the day of Qiyamah, how you interacted. But if you have no time for other people, and you frown at people, and you look at their car, and you look at their libas, and you look at their watch, and you look at what model phone that they have, and you think, well, this person is not worth my time, he's not worth my effort to indulge in him or a conversation or spend too much time, let me just move on and find somebody of my architecture of my background and then I will engage with them. No, you need to talk to every single person that may come that you come across. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, even when children, small, different, you know, atfal, they would come and they would hold the hand of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He would never say to them, leave my hand, let me go, I've got more important things to do. No, wherever they led him, he would walk with them and he would sit with them, he would talk to them, he would play with them, he would ask them how they are, he would ask them how their pets were, their cats and their birds, he would sit down with them. I develop a good relationship with those people. And this is something that we are lacking in our society. We're just more and more worried and consumed within ourselves. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that verily, in the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have an exemplar of character, an excellent pattern, mode of code of conduct for you. That if you want to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to be the best person that you can potentially physically, intellectually and spiritually be, then you need to reflect and mirror the character, the akhlaq, the ruwayya, the way of life of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. For verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim, that verily without a doubt, without an iota of a doubt whatsoever, you are of a great moral character. You have the best of characters. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying and reminding us as well. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he saw all the evils, he saw the ills within his society. But what did he do? He shifted the paradigms of how people thought and how they viewed the world. That success is not viewed by how much money, how much wealth, how much courtier you have, what car you drive, the latest phone you have. No, none of these things matter. He shifted their worldview, the paradigms, he realigned their attitudes and instilled and placed and imbibed within their hearts the love for humanity, the love for each other, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have compassion, to have mercy for one another, to treat each other with equality, with sincerity, with ikhlas, and to have that mutual respect and understanding for all of Bani Adam. Why? Because he understood, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي Adam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ennobled all of Bani Adam, not just the Quraysh, not just the people of Medina, not just the people of Pakistan or India, all of Bani Adam, they have inherent value and dignity and honor embedded within them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore you must look towards that and then treat people with respect and honor and dignity. And this is what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came with. And this is how he tried to shift the people and their thoughts and how they approached all, and interacted with each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala furthermore reminds us in the Quran that لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. That indeed one of the greatest favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest gifts bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon all of humanity and specifically upon the ummah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, i.e. us, for the Muslims, is that he sent to them a noble, a prestigious, most honorable, most elevated ulul azam messenger from amongst them, who recited to them the verses, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that kalam purified them, that kalam realigned their hearts and reminded them of what their core objective was in the dunya. It purified them, and he taught them the book which is the Quran, but most importantly, the book is the way of life, how to carry yourself. The book was the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and he taught them wisdom, how to behave, when to behave, how you stand up for your mother and for your father, how you kiss their hands and you kiss their feet and you do their khidmah, how you honor ulama, the shuyukh. He taught them all of these things, hikmah. This is a very important aspect of our deen. And before it, without all of these things, they were openly in error. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that to come to the light, to come to the guidance, to come to the correct way of life, you need to follow the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So a few things I want to share with you today, inshallah, in terms of how we can go back and follow these particular principles. So one of the first most core important changes that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam brought within his community was a reminder to them that they are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sometimes we always think that, you know, if you're older, if you're senior, if you have a better background or you have wealth, you're above everybody. You're not accountable to anybody. But this was a reminder that whether it is the Prophet ﷺ himself or the Sahaba ikram or the Ahlul Bayt, they are all accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people, generally, they do not commit sins or they oppress other people or commit violence or evil because they don't know the difference. Everybody knows this is good, this is bad, this is violent. All of these things, everybody knows that. It's inherently within them to know the good and the bad and the evil of the dunya, between right and wrong. But the reason why people commit evil, the reason why people commit sin, the reason why people harm other people and do violence is because they think they can get away with it, or they think that they have a right to do that particular thing. So this is something that the Prophet ﷺ was teaching us, that good and evil are absolute values. It doesn't matter if it's your own family member or if it's your enemy, whoever it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly marked what is good, what is bad, what is halal and what is haram. And that human values are applicable to all of humanity, not only because you're a Muslim, I'll treat you nicely, or because you're from my tribe, or you're from Pakistan, or you're from India, or you're from my family, then I'll treat you nicely, or you're my ally, you're my friend, and I'll give you the best of my character and behavior. No, goodness is for all, khair is for everybody, and to protect yourself and your family and all of humanity from your evil and from your shar is a requirement for us. So this important reminder from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, that never think that you are above the law, never think that you can get away with things because you are Muslims. No, you are all accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even once the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, by Allah, that if Fatima, my daughter radiyallahu ta'ala anha, that the daughter of Muhammad, if she stole, then I would cut off her hand myself. Why? Because the law is applicable and equal for all of the Muslims. And similarly, this is something that we need to remind ourselves, that never think just because you're an alim or you're a sheikh or you're somebody honorable in the community or you're an MP or you're whoever you are, you have your wealth or you have your money or you have your status and your fame, that you are above the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are above the law of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. No, always remain humble, always remain dignified, always honor other people the way the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would honor even his enemies. Even the staunchest of his enemies, he would honor them, he would listen to them, he would not swear at them or spew anger or hatred or violence towards them. He would look the other way, he would be forbearing and forgiving, and he even forgave them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A reminder to us that أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَىٰ. Do you not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ever-watching? وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. That he is with you wherever you may be. So whether you're within your home, within your city, within your town, in your car, on your computer, on your laptop, on your phone, always remember and remind yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. So before you post something, before you spew out some hatred online or in person, always remember that you'll be accountable for your speech, for your kalam, for the actions that you have done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us on the day of Qiyamah, أَلْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. On that day, your mouth will be sealed, your hands, your feet, everything will testify either for you or against you. So the accountability is very important. The second thing the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam reminded us of, sidq, amana, of being truthful. And we know the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was as-sadiq al-ameen, the most truthful and the most trustworthy. Wherever he went, he always taught all of his followers to be truthful in every aspect and every facet of your life. You make a promise, you make a pledge, you make a covenant, you make an agreement, you have to fulfill that with the Muslims and with the non-Muslims wherever you may be. وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ. This is a command, a mandate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, لِيَجْزِيَ اللَّهُ الصَّادِقِينَ بِصِدْقِهِمْ, that your reward will be given to you on the day of Qiyamah due to your truthfulness, due to your veracity, due to your integrity, due to your kalam, your tongue. How can it be that a Muslim with this tongue says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and with that same tongue then he lies. then he commits sins. With that same tongue, he cheats and does backbiting and gossiping. He does that thing with his same tongue. It's not possible. The Messenger ﷺ was asked, can a Muslim rob? Can a Muslim steal? Can a Muslim do this? And he said yes to all of these things. And then he was asked, can he lie? And the Prophet ﷺ replied, no, a true Muslim will never lie. Because this tongue, the tongue on which we say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, this tongue upon which we read the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this tongue upon which we say the durood upon the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, how can we use that very same tongue to lie and to break our promise and covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? So tomorrow people will come to us and say, you are a Muslim, yet you lie, yet you deceive, yet you cheat, and yet you do all of these things, and you are a follower of As-Sadiqul Amin. Is this who you are? So this is another important aspect for us to reflect upon, and how the transformation was brought about by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, by being accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by being truthful throughout your life wherever you may be, and by spreading khair, irrespective of gender, irrespective of tribe and background, by spreading khair. Ya ayyuha an-nas afshu as-salam wa atimu at-ta'am wa silu al-arham wa sallu bil-layli wan-nasu niyam. That, O people, spread peace, feed the hungry, pray at night when people are sleeping, and as a result of these actions, these goodness, this khair, you will enter into the gardens of paradise by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want to change yourself, transform yourself, then look at these principles of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. There are many, many more, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to truly follow in the footsteps of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.